إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be another session from the sittings of the explanation of the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. Still on Zakah, the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala says, ويجب الإخراج من وسط المال ويجب الإخراج من وسط المال It is compulsory to take out the zakah from وسط المال from the middle of the wealth, so to say. What does this mean? It means that when you want to take zakah or you want to give out zakah, what is expected is to give what is not the best or what is not the worst. They should be in between, as you have said. So giving out zakah should be the in-between, not the best and not the worst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ So don't take that is bad of each. مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ You now spend from each. So the same thing is applicable here when you are given out zakah. You are not expected to give the best and you are not expected to also give the worst of each. وَلَا يَلْزَمُ الْخِيَارِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهُ It is not compulsory that one gives out the best إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهُ unless if the owner decides to do such. If the owner of the wealth decides to give the best, this is not compulsory on him. وَلَا يُزْدِيُ مِنَ الْأَدْوَانِ Likewise, it's not something that is okay. It's not sufficient for one to give an adwan, that is a list. وَلَا يَلْزَمُ الْخِيَارِ It is not compulsory to also give the best. You don't give the least, the worst. And you don't, it's not compulsory for you to also give the best. إِلَّا يَشَاءَ رَبُّ Unless if the owner of the wealth wills. وَفِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ مَرْفُوعًا The author continues. He said in the hadith of Abu Huraira marfu'an that was ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي الرِّكَابِ الْخُمْسِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ One-fifth should be given out of الرِّكَاب What is الرِّكَاب? Rikaz is the buried treasure, the buried treasure. And this refers to the buried treasure of the people of Jahiliyyah, even before the advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like gold, silver, and some other things like that, that are buried in their dwellings or in their estates or property. So if this is found and something that bears the sign of Jahiliyyah is there, that is the pre-Islamic era, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised as a messenger. If this item that is found, this buried item that is found, carries any of the signs of the pre-Islamic era, this is said to be a rikaz. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمْسُ وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمْسُ الْخُمْسُ, that is, one-fifth should be given out of a rikaz. Because this is something that the person who has found the item does not labor for. It's something that he finds easily, or he has found easily. So this is called a rikaz. And this is the highest that you give out. One-fifth of it should be given out. We have talked about that of one-tenth. When you are given out one-tenth of the wealth, this has to do with the farm produce. One-tenth or 1/20, this has to do with the farm produce. If it is watered by the rain, you give out one-tenth because your effort is less. If it is watered by the by your own effort, you give out 1/20. But in the case of rikaz, so one has got, that is why one gives out 1/5 of it. So the remaining 4/5 goes to the owner, that is the one who has found it. So this is the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done it. This is the way he has commanded. وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمْسِ. So if one finds a buried treasure that carries the name or the sign given out, that is one-fifth of it should be given out. One-fifth of it should be given out. وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمْسِ. One-fifth should be given out in rikaz, in buried treasure. Now we said a rikaz is the treasure, buried treasure like gold, silver and the likes, that belong to the people of Jahiliyyah, even before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how do we identify this? Maybe by seeing signs of maybe their rulers and things like that. Maybe it bears or carries the names of their kings and the likes. So with this, one can easily say this is what rikaz, that you have been ordered to give out 1/5 as the zakah. 1/5 as the zakah. So, however, if this doesn't carry the sign of the people of Jahiliyyah, maybe it carries a sign that has to do with the Islamic era, maybe down from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to this present time. So this is not called rikaz in the Islamic jurisprudence. It is called al-luqata. Al-luqata, this is an item that you find during the Islamic era. That is down from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to now. Up to now. So that is called al-luqata and not a rikaz. A rikaz, as the scholars have said, this has to do with the items, the buried treasure, or the items found that belong to the people of Jahiliyyah. Why that of the Islamic era is called al-luqata? It's called al-luqata. So al-luqata, this has a different ruling from a rikaz. It has a different ruling from Marikaz. So in the case of al-luqata, this will be announced for a period of 1 year, and if nobody appears to claim it, then the one who has found it can benefit from it, can make use of it. So this is what with respect to al-luqata. Al-luqata, we say this is something that is found in the Islamic era, that he is opted today. If anybody sees anything, this is said to be what? Luqata. What is expected of the person is to announce it in the public places. And if the owner comes to claim it, then he gives to the owner. And if nobody comes to claim it, after he has done the announcement for a period of 1 year, after he has done the announcement for a period of 1 year, it belongs to the one who has found it. So this is called luqata. But what we are discussing today is what is has to do with rikaz. It has to do with rikaz. So rikaz is the item that belongs to the era of Jahiliyyah, that is the pre-Islamic era. And somebody finds it, so the person will have to take the possession of it, because it doesn't belong to people during this era. So it belongs to the people of Jahiliyyah. So the person who has found this can benefit from it. 4/5 of it belongs to him. Why 1/5, that is 1/5, belongs to the Muslims? Now, how do we, who are going to be the recipient of rikaz? The scholars have differed on those who are the recipients of rikaz. According to majority of the scholars, the recipients of rikaz, those who benefit from rikaz, that is the 1/5 that one is supposed to give out, those who benefit from the 1/5, according to majority of the scholars, they said they are the generality of the Muslims. The generality of the Muslims, that is during this time. Now, in the past, they will say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمْسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. So know that whatever you have gotten, this goes to the goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is 1/5 of each, goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ مَا غَنِمْتُمْ إِشْفَ أَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمْسَهُ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. So these people mentioned, they are the people who are supposed to take the 1/5. But the generality of the Muslims can benefit from it now, as it was practiced by the Salaf. When people found rikaz and they brought this to the authority, so this will be shared to the Muslims. It is not restricted to the poor. So likewise, where the people can get from it. So this is the view of majority of the scholars, contrary to the Shafi'iyya, who are of the opinion that the recipients of rikaz are the same recipients of zakah. Masarifu al-rikaz, masarif al-zakah. So those who are supposed to take the 1/5 are those who are supposed to also take the zakah that you have been discussing. So this is the view of the Shafi'iyya. But the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it is for the generality of the Muslims today. So as we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مَا غَنِمْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمْسًا وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. Why that of the zakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah? So there were 8 recipients. So these ones are the masarif, those the ghanima, the booties of war, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the booty of war should be for the messenger, should be for Allah and his messenger. That is 150. So the 150 will be for Allah, his messenger. Likewise, the relatives, the yatama, that is the orphans. Likewise, wal masakin, the poor, wabni, as-sabil, and the wayfarer. So it is mentioned here, dil qurba. So not necessarily that the dil qurba that are poor. So and that is why it is permissible to give to the worthy people that of because the 150. Why 4/5 will go to the owner? Will go to the owner, that is the one who has found the rikaz. But this is not the same thing with the locator, which we said locator is the item. The item that is found in the Islamic era up till now, that is from the time of the Prophet till now. So if somebody finds something now, he will have to announce it in the public places for a period of 1 year, particularly if that thing is something that is worth it. He will have to announce it. He can't just take possession of it and start using it. The ruling after a year and nobody comes to claim it, then the finder, so to say, or the one who has found it, can now make use of it. Can also, the person should give him back. So this is as far as the issue of rikaz is concerned. Now, with respect to something that is related to this, and that is what they call Zakatul Ma'adin. So Al-Ma'adin, this is the mineral. The mineral, the plural is Ma'adin, minerals. So the gold, silver, iron, copper, that is brass, and many other things like that. Petroleum, all this arsenic, they all fall under what we call al-ma'adin. They fall under what we call al-ma'adin. So whether they are the watery ones or not, so they fall under ma'adin, things that are not part and parcel of the soil. The soil. So maybe there are things that are found in the soil, and there are things that are worth it. So there are things that are worth it, that have qima, that are brought out from the earth. So these are called the ma'adin, which can be translated as the minerals. Now, if one brings out minerals from the ground, from the earth, is it zakatable or not? So this, according to the Shafi'iyya and the Malikiyya, they are not zakatable except gold and silver. Except gold and silver. So the one who brings out gold and silver, and what he has brought out of the earth of gold and silver, is up to Nisab. It's up to Nisab. That is, it is up to 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver. To the Shafi'iyya and the Malikiyya, such a person will have to pay the zakah of that mineral, that is of the gold, will have to pay the zakah of the gold and silver that he has brought out from the earth. That he has brought out from the earth. He will have to pay the zakah that he has brought out of the earth. So if it is not up to, if it is up to nisab, that is 85 gram of gold and 595 gram of silver. That is according to the Shafi'iyya. And in this case, he does not have to wait for a whole year to go on it. That is, immediately brings it out. Immediately he brings it out, then he will have to pay the zakah. So if what he has gotten of the gold and silver is up to nisab, what he has brought out of the ground of gold and silver is up to nisab, so that is 85 gram of gold, 595 gram of silver, he will have to pay the zakah according to the Shafi'i and Malikiya. He doesn't have to wait for a whole year to go on the gold or on the silver, because this is something that is treated like the farm produce. It's just like somebody investing the farm produce, so to say. So the same thing the Shafi'i and the Maliki have said with respect to this. Now, to them, the minerals that are zakatable, that one brings out of the earth that are zakatable, are just gold and silver. As for other minerals like iron, like copper, like the oil, that is the petroleum, all these to them are not zakatable. So diamond, arsenic, and many others like that, they are not zakatable to them. It is only these two that are zakatable, and if they are up to nisab, they must be up to nisab. They must be up to nisab. So if they are up to nisab, then one will have to pay the zakah, which is 2.5% according to them. 2.5%, not 10%, so to say, 1/10 of like that of the farm produce. No, they said 2.5%. Uboilation is what they, what one will have to give out if one is able to bring out any of these two, either gold or silver. Now, the Hanabila, the in one report, they favor this. Why in another report, they are of the opinion that there is no zakah on it. Now, the Shafi'iyya, they are of the opinion that there is zakah on the minerals that we bring out, we extract from the earth. Be they gold, silver, iron, arsenic, kohol, and many others like that, brass. So once there are things that are valuable that you extract, not part and parcel of the, not the soil itself, but inside the soil that you extract, you bring out, they will have to pay the zakah. So they also are of the opinion that you pay 2.5% on this. Now the difference between this view of the Shafi'iyya and the view of the, the view of the Shafi'iyya and the Malikiyya, so to say, they have the first opinion. So this second opinion, the Hanabila, so the difference is that they are of the opinion that you have to pay zakah on this, the Hanabila. They are of the opinion that you have to pay zakah on this. As Ibn Qudama in his book Al-Mughni established. So the position of the Hanabila is that you pay zakah on the minerals that you extract from the earth. So you pay 2.5% to the aggregate. So the Shafi'i and the Malikiya, you have said that their position is that it is only gold and silver. So, but the Hanabila, we disagree with them in this aspect that no, you pay zakat on all the minerals that you extract from the earth, not only the gold and silver. Now, the Hanafiya, they have the opinion that it is only those minerals that have that can maybe you can use to put mark on things. Take for instance like lead and the likes, so that as a category. Now, what is important, wallahu a'lam, is to be on the safe side, is to pay zakat on these minerals, to pay zakat on the minerals, be they gold or silver. If they are gold and silver, so 2.5% will be paid. Likewise, if there are other items, 2.5% will be paid. But in the case of gold and silver, so the nisab will be what? Will be 85 gram of gold. The nisab of silver will be 595 gram of silver. Why other ones? So we will have to estimate them, maybe using one of the two. Using one of the two, using the gold standard or the silver standard. That is, if we are to go by the view of the Hanabila, which is better taken to be on the safe side. To be on the safe side. So some scholars have said, no, there is no zakah on it, as you have said, apart from the Hanabila. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, is of the opinion that there is no zakah on it, except gold and silver. Except gold and silver. So there is no zakah on the ma'adin. So this is important. So we have to differentiate between these three things now. So rikaz, luqata, and ma'adin. Rikaz, luqata, and ma'adin. So in the case of rikaz, we said this is buried treasure of the people of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era, before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The buried treasure is what? Is rikaz. So if this is found by a Muslim, he will have to pay a fifth of it as zakah, which goes to Allah, His Messenger, the Masakin, the Yatama, the Ibn-Sabil, the Qurba, or the majority of the Muslims in the modern time. So, and the four or five of it goes to the one who has found it. This is the case. So we said if that thing is found, be it gold or so, if it is found, not something that is extracted, maybe it's found in the land, if that thing is found in the era of Islam, so this doesn't have a ruling of rikaz, it has a ruling of a luqata. And the ruling of luqata, as we said, is that the finder will have to announce this for a whole year in the public places. And if there is nobody that has come to claim this after this, then he can take possession of it. This is what luqata. So we should take note of the difference between rikaz and luqata. Rikaz and luqata. Rikaz found is the buried treasure, the treasure found in the time of that belongs to the people of Jahiliyyah. Why luqata is something found during the time of the Islamic era. When we say during the time of the Islamic era, it extends to this time, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the third thing is al-ma'adin. Al-ma'adin is the third thing. You have to differentiate. So, to the Madhhab al-Salafa, that is the Hanabila, the Shafi'iyya, and the Malikiya, they differentiate between rikaz and what? And ma'adin. Ma'adin to them is the items that are extracted from the earth. not just something found. Something that you found, you find, may belong to somebody else. But the one that is extracted from the earth, this is called ma'adin, according to the mazahib al-salasa, the three mazahib. So this, to them, is, as we said, the Malikiya, the Shafi'iyya, they have the opinion that it is only when those things are good and silver that you pay zakat on them. If they are not good and silver, no zakat on them. Contrary to the Hanabila, who are of the opinion that there is a zakat on them. There is a zakat on them. The Hanafiya said only those things that can be used to watch mark, that can have mark like the lead and the likes, that can that are zakat. In addition to that, we said these people, they said what, 2.5% will be given out with respect to ma'adin, with respect to minerals. Why 5% is given out with respect to the rikaz? But the Hanafiya, they have the opinion that the ma'adin has the same ruling as the rikaz with respect to what you give out. So you have to give out 1/5. This is the Hanafi's opinion. However, the more correct opinion is the view of the majority of the scholars. We say their position seems better, that you just give out 2.5% of the ma'adin. Now, in a situation, it may happen that the country or the state, so to say, the government, has prevented people from maybe extracting, from digging, from mining, to get these minerals. So, but if the government does not prevent people, then this is what is this is what operates. This is what operates. But let's assume that the government prevents people from what? From mining. So it is the government that owns all the mines, so to say. So in this case, is the government going to pay zakat on this? There is no zakat on the government. The government doesn't pay zakat of what they extract from the land. What they extract from the earth, the government doesn't pay zakat on that. But if it is an individual, or the individuals that extract this, that mine this, then they pay zakat, as I've said, 2.5% on everything they mine, according to the majority of the scholars, and 5% according to the Hanafiya, So, but as we said, that of the majority seems more convincing, so to say. So we give out 2.5%. Now, it may also happen that maybe somebody sells a piece of land to another person, and when the person digs it, he finds gold, for instance, or silver, or any of these things. Now he's going to pay zakat. Who wants it? Is it the seller or the buyer? So most scholars said, in this case, since he has purchased it from the person, and the item is not something that is found on the land, it's something that is extracted. So the seller cannot come to say, okay, I only sold the land to you, I didn't sell what you have dug or what you have gotten from it. So this is what most scholars are upon. Now, in the case of somebody renting out or leasing a plot of land, and the lessee, for instance, digs and finds something of this, is he going to be the owner of it? Or it is the lessor that is going to be the owner? So this, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it is the lessor, the owner of the land, that is going to have it, because the land does not belong to the person. Now, if this is what in Ardu Mawat, that is a wasteland, for instance, that does not belong to a particular person, so who owns it? This goes to the government. All these are matters that the scholars treated as far as this issue is concerned. So summarily, the ma'adin, there is zakat on it according to most scholars, and you give out 2.5% when you dig it, if it is up to the nisab. If it is not up to nisab, then there is no zakah on what one has extracted. If it is up to nisab, then one gives out 2.5%. The Shafi'i, the Malikiya, they only restrict this to good and silver. Why the Hanabila generalize it? The Hanafiya, they try to limit it to some things in addition to gold and silver. And they also say it is 5% that the person is going to give out, contrary to what the three other Madaib are upon, that is just 2.5%. So this is on Erika's. So inshallah, next week we'll be talking about Zakatul Fitri. So this is on Ma'adin. Likewise, the Rikaz, and as we said, the recipients of the Rikaz, according to the view of majority of the scholars, are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as the recipients of the booties of the war. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمْسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. So these are the recipients. But today, this can also cover a lot of people. And some of these scholars are of the opinion that this can be used to build schools and the likes, because it's for the generality of the people. So why that of the minority or of the opinion, the Shafi'iyah, that the recipients are the recipients of zakah. So this, wallahu alam, there is no clear evidence that leads this. So inshallah, we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with what I've heard. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.